Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding, available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cozy colours in store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. Henry, good afternoon.
How are you? Joe, how are you?
Good. This could only be described as a freak accident in your own home.
Yeah.
Explain what happened. I know freak accidents happen, but this is one of the most bizarre.
I was sitting at the table.
Yeah.
On a Friday night. Yeah. Having fish and chips. My daughter was at the buoy.
Okay.
And I dropped a few chips on the ground.
Right.
And I pushed the chair away to pick them up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my balance and I went onto the spike of the rad where the regulator is. There was no rubber on it, you know.
Okay, now come at me again. You dropped the chips, you stood up.
Yeah.
The radiator is obviously on the wall, is it?
Yeah, right beside me.
Now, did you stumbled?
Yeah, I sort of lost my balance and went straight down onto it.
And did you go fully down on your knees or...?
Yeah, I went down like that on my knees and straight into it.
So the regulator that you're talking about, if we can imagine a radiator, is almost very close to the ground, very close to the floor. Yes?
Yeah.
And it's the thing you turn. It normally has a rubber handle on it.
Yeah, it's a brass bracket.
And there's a rubber fitting over so you can turn it clockwise or anti-clockwise to
that's right.
Okay, so in your case the rubber was gone, so
yeah, it was missing out of it.
So there's a little brass nail, would be bigger than a nail, wouldn't it? Wider than the nail.
A little brass,
that'd be and how do you know how you landed on it, your eye?
No, because as I said, I was picking up the chips and I lost my balance and I went straight down onto it.
Oh.
And it went into me eyebrow. And at the back of the eye, it burst the back of the eye.
Because it is a sharp... So it is a sharp piece of brass, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's solid.
And when did you realise you were in trouble?
Well, I didn't really... my grandson come down, pulled me head off the rad. And my daughter rang the ambulance for me. And they come out. And brought me to the hospital with it, and as I said.
And what state were you in? Are you now sitting on the floor? Did you realise your eye had been hit in this freak accident?
When they picked me up, they put me on the seat.
Yeah.
And I just waited out till the ambulance came. The blood was pouring over. It was.
And what about pain?
Well, at the time, it was the shock. The pain wasn't there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It was just a shock of it.
So you're, and could you see out of the eye at that stage?
No, couldn't see anything.
And what was there blood? What could you, you just couldn't see anything?
Couldn't see anything, it was just dark.
Now,
black.
So your grandson was there, was your granddaughter, or your daughter brought in the fish and chips?
Your daughter,
They could see you, obviously. You couldn't see yourself. Yeah. Did they realise you were in trouble?
Oh, yeah. She knew my daughter because she called my grandson down from upstairs to pick me head off her. She couldn't lift me. You know?
So, Henry, were you effectively impaled on that brass fitting?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Because the grandson had to pull me head off her and then all the blood started coming out.
Sweet divine. Sweet. So you're now, they're holding you up in the chair. I presume there's towels been got and...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And did the ambulance come quickly or were you...
Oh, yeah, the ambulance came fairly quick. They didn't. They looked at it. And they were looking at him upset. You know, one of them was looking at it.
What did he say? Because their experience...
No, I think he was a new chap with him, you know, that way.
Okay.
And he was upset. My daughter said, looking at it, the way it was.
And how were you? What sounds were you making, Henry?
I don't realise what sounds. I was just in shock completely.
Yeah, okay.
I was. I didn't even remember it.
So your grandson had... Okay, what age is your grandson, by the way?
21.
Okay, so the 20-year-old, big lad, hopefully, he'd be sent for up the stairs to come down and actually lift you and get your head and your the eye socket out.
Yeah.
This is awful even to talk about it.
Yeah.
So the ambulance came and they said, no question, you to get no you to question. A hospital ASAP. Okay.
Yeah.
So you go to a hospital.
Yeah, I see the doctor.
Yeah.
Seen her, and then she said to me, Daddy, well, we won't be able to operate him tonight because he had to eat.
Ah, the fish and chow.
We'll have to wait till in the morning.
You can't get an anaesthetic on a full stomach, yeah.
No, so...
And had you eaten, do you mind me? You had eaten the fish, the one-on-one,
yeah,
had you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So when I got there, anybody put me straight into a ward.
Okay.
The next morning, they brought me down to a room. They stitched all my eyebrow out. And then at 12, I went in for the operation.
And at this stage, Henry, had you seen yourself in the mirror?
Yeah, I seen the photograph. My daughter took a photograph of me eye and showed me it.
And?
You know, looking at the state of it.
Good luck.
The whole face, you know. It was all bruised.
So we're now, you're taken to the hospital. It's Friday, you're told... we'll have to wait a while before we operate.
Yeah.
And that'll be Saturday, lunchtime or whatever.
Yeah.
And how were you through the night and through the morning on Saturday?
Well, in the hospital, as I said, they looked after me, as I said.
Yeah, great.
Kind of or whatever.
And did they bandage it up, yeah?
And they bandaged it up, the whole lot, put a cap on it, you know.
Okay.
So you don't scratch it, you know.
And was it? Was it itchy? Was it uncomfortable? Was it? It must
it
have
was,
been.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable because you know yourself. You any type of wound, if you start scratching it.
Yeah, of course.
Or as I said, like.
God, you're some man. You're some man.
And he brought me, in for the operation. There was a few hours in there.
And did they? What did they say to you beforehand? By the way, 51551 Joe at RTE.ie and freak accent. What did they say to you on the Saturday morning? Did they say, listen, this is going to be a straightforward operation, or?
They were saying I might get some of the soy pack, they were saying to me, right? It'll take a few operations, probably, and it'll take a long recovery. So I accepted that at the time.
Did you?
So when I went in to see the professor 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
he says to me, no, the eye is dead.
Ah.
The soy is gone.
So you were blinded in one eye by that freak accident?
Blind eye. And I might lose the eye, he said, because the muscles are not working. So I might have to get the eye out.
And when you know? But Henry, when you first heard that on the Saturday morning, that when they said, we're going to try and save the vision, did you...
Yeah, I felt good about it.
Oh, you did? Okay, because I'm saying, when did you realise that your eyesight was in danger?
It was only going to the theatre, they were saying it, like, you know, to me, like, you're right the way it is, and we're trying to do our best to save it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And it'll take probably one or two operations, you might get a vision back, the whole lot. And then after the operation, as I said, when I was let out, went back to him, he had me on drops to get all the blood out of it, you know, so he could look into it. And then Friday week, I was in with him, and he said to me, no, the vision is gone completely.
And if I see you now, have you got a cover over the eye? Is that what they're doing?
Oh, no, I'm wearing my glasses.
Are you?
I do, yeah. But what I find it difficult is now when I'm out, if the light hits me eye, me good eye, you know, when I'm walking, I have to be watching where I am.
Of course, yeah, you get disorientated.
Because it interferes, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever been in hospital before, Henry?
No, I've a few times in hospital.
What was that about?
Different complaints. Okay. Different complaints.
And what are you retired or working? Or?
Yeah, I'm retired at 72.
Oh, wow. And what did you work at?
Paint and decker out all my life.
Up and down ladders
never
and...
Never had an accident in the ladder.
I don't believe you.
Never. As I said, you have one in your own home.
A freak accident.
Freak, that's it.
And then when the prof said to you, Henry, I've no way of getting that vision back.
Yeah.
How did you hear that?
I told him, I said, I'm devastated over it. Really am. I said, silly little accident in the house. I was saying to him, I said, I can't handle it. Which I can't.
Can you not?
No, I can't.
In what way? In your...
But I got upset.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
If, and you know, and this is the nature of this type of accent. If you try to reenact it, no one could reenact it. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. As I said, it's so, as you say, you'd never think like you'd hit the spike with your head.
Yeah. You couldn't do it deliberately.
No. No. As I said, it's just a whatever way, I just lost my balance.
Yeah.
Straight onto it.
Now, does your house insurance cover medical bills or whatever we're going to face into now?
It'll only cover if somebody else has an accident in the house, he told me.
Oh.
I rang them up about it and he put me onto Zurich and Zurich put me onto the claims department.
Okay.
And quote devil. And the man said to me on the phone, I can't think of his name. He said to me, no, you can't claim yourself, he said. Anybody else in the house can claim you. You can't claim yourself.
So if you were
that's ridiculous.
If you were a visitor, if that was your daughter's house, you could have claimed. But the fact that it was your own house.
Your own house. And it's in your name, everything. You pay it and all, and you're not insured.
But if it happened to a visitor, or even your daughter, God forbid, we don't.
As he says, four people up to £1 million, he was saying to me. You know?
So, can you get, will any insurance cover it?
No. Well, not that I know of, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he asked me, had I got a private health insurance, and I said, no, I have a medical card.
Yeah.
So he said, no, you can't claim yourself. Which I never heard of that before.
For an accident in your own home caused by...
An accident in your own home, yeah.
They didn't say to you, no, I hope they didn't, and even if it's true, they didn't say to you, actually, you should have got the radiator fixed, you should have got the rubber thing back over it.
No, he didn't say anything like that.
But these things happen, don't they, in any house?
These things happen. It's like I've been talking to nurses in the hospital and all, and they're saying some of their rats haven't got the caps on them.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, because the Hoover knocks them off.
And then they're only plastic, and then they can snap and they won't go back on. The tread is gone.
Yeah, that's so light, you know.
And you mentioned, like, with one eye, are you confident going out?
Yeah and no, you know what I mean. I have a walking stick now with me. To make sure.
And did you have a walking stick before this, Henry?
No. So I just make sure if I'm walking down the shops or anything like that, that I'd be able to see the paths, you know, the different sizes.
And have you been talking to anybody? Now, it's early days yet, but you're still a young man.
I haven't.
Have you been talking to anyone who has lost a sight in one eye to try and help? You know the way people say, well, watch out for this or watch out for that, or that would deceive you. Just be careful if you're... For example, do you drive, Henry?
Yeah, I do drive, yeah.
And can you drive? Are you confident enough to get back in?
Yeah, I'm confident enough to get back in, but I haven't been really driving. Yeah. You know what I mean? Only went down the shops and back, and that's all.
Yeah.
And you've got to get the confidence back in me.
Yeah. And who's in the house? Who lives in the house with you?
My daughter and my grandson.
Oh, there. Thank God. Three of you.
You know, three of us there, you know.
And your wife passed.
She looked after me, and she passed away 4 years ago.
Yeah.
She did.
And you said
if she would have been here, I wouldn't have fell.
Well, she would have been watching you in.
She would have been watching me.
But it was a freak accident.
That's what it was, a freak accident. Just picking up the chips. If it had left them on the ground and let the dog take them.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, it would have been a different story.
Or if you'd stumbled a millimetre in a different direction. It would have missed your head altogether. You would have a millimetre the other way. You could have. You might have grabbed the radiator. A millimetre the other way. You might have just fallen onto the chair. It's, as I say, you could not reenact it. It's such a freak accident.
And then the doctor even said in the hospital, he said, "If it didn't went into your, if it went into your skull, you were dead." You know.
Stay with us, will you, Henry? And by the way, do we call you Henry or Harry? What do people call you?
No, Henry.
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 And who were you called after?
After me, Davis, he's Hillary.
His name was Hillary?
His name is Hillary,
oh, lovely, yeah. Okay, all the H's. Will you stay with us, Henry. Stay with us and after this break. Joe at RT.ie 51551. What a freak accident with awful consequences. Awful consequences.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Harry Curry. Visit one of our 44 stores across Ireland for quality curtains and bedding at great prices. Find your perfect style today.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Henry O'Brien was at home of a Friday eating fish and chips, as we all do on a Friday. Some food dropped on the floor. He went, sat up or stood up to reach down. He stumbled and bizarrely and freakily, his head connected with the exposed aperture on the side of a radiator that normally, in most houses doesn't, that has a cover on it that you turn clockwise or anti-clockwise, usually plastic, to release or open the radiator. That was gone. So there's an exposed brass spike with a square top on it. And bizarrely, Henry, when he hit the ground, that lodged in his eye. And now Henry, unfortunately, has lost the vision, and he also discovers that he's no insurance. The house insurance doesn't cover it because it is his house. Whereas if, God forbid, it happened to anybody, but happened to anybody else, they would have been covered. Brian, Dr. Brian Aylward, I know you're retired, Brian, but God, is this a freak accident, or just I haven't heard of it before?
It's tragic, isn't it, Joe? I mean, the way he was describing it, first it sounded like there was an impact to the front of the eye that then went and caused a fracture to the back of the eye. It's called an orbital blowout. But as he was further describing it, it sounded like a penetrating eye injury.
Yeah.
And it was things that you did see every now and again. My background is anaesthesia. And when I was working in Cork, because it's a tertiary hospital, you'd see almost everything come into it. I've seen things like that, but certainly not in the way that poor man described.
And what you call an orbital blowout fracture, serious damage to the eye. I hope it's not common, but if it does happen, where is it likely to happen or why?
Well, the times that I saw it was generally with sporting injuries. Before they brought the visor into their hurling to go and cover the face, it was a known thing that could happen, that when a slitter was coming down, a player would line themselves up to go and, you know, they're basically underneath it, with their hand up in the air to catch it. But as hurls were flying around the place, the hand could get knocked out of the way, and then the slitter would fall straight and hit them in the eye, which then put pressure on the eyeball and causing a blowout of the back of the eye. That's why the visor was one of the reasons the visor was introduced into hurling, which actually reduced almost eliminated the chance of it happening.
And in terms of being commoner, well, it's irrelevant, isn't it? Because it's 100% after happening to Henry,
indeed.
And he's after.
Yeah.
And is that process almost a given that if you get such an injury to the eye, you are going to lose the vision?
I couldn't say, Joe. It's always
specialty,
unfortunately.
Losing the eye.
Why? You've lost the vision.
I've lost a vision, but I know I've lost a vision and the eye is still there. But if the muscles goes in the eye, he says the eye will have to come out.
And why?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, tell me, talk me through that, Henry. Why are you so... You're upset anyway, I know that, rightly so. But why are you saying I'm going to get more upset if I lose the eye? Which, has the eye any function at the minute? If I can't see...
No, I've no function in it at all, but I'd rather have the as you say, the owl eye, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, look at me, you can see me eye, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But I'd be devastated now if we lose her.
Yeah. And is it, really as you talk to me now, Henry, can you feel, is there any sensation or?
No, it's numb around the eye.
Numb, okay.
It's numb there. I think the muscles are gone in it. You know,
And if you actually lose the eye, you've lost the eyesight tragically.
Yeah.
But if you lose the eye, will that affect your face? Do you follow me? Insofar as you know,
it'll affect me. It'll affect me big time.
Okay.
It will.
Have you always worn glasses?
It'll affect me a lot.
Yeah. Psychologically.
Yeah. It really will.
And what are you thinking when you say that, Henry? You're thinking I will look disabled or different or...
No.
It would bring it home to you, what's happened?
Well, it's already brought it home, the accident, as I said. As I said, I'm devastated at the moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I had to go through that, it really...
And then...
upset me so much.
And then discover that the insurance doesn't, your house insurance doesn't cover a penny.
Which I never heard in my life.
Yeah. Say with us, Henry, Joe at rt.ie 51551. Eleanor Bourke is in Dublin. Eleanor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to Henry, a freak accident.
I am. I'd like to offer him, Henry, my deepest sympathy on this.
Okay.
And it really brings me back to my own situation. I think it was 40 years ago, would you believe?
Okay.
44 years ago, when I actually lost my right eye. I am actually visually impaired with an eye condition called aniridia. But what happened with me was somebody had taken the clothes horse out of the bath and put it on the bathroom floor.
Okay.
And it was a smallish bathroom, so I went into the bathroom in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I went to sit on the loo.
Yeah.
And as I put my head down, I didn't realize how close I was to the clothes horse. Mm. And my glasses, because I was wearing glasses with my visual impairment, my glasses got knocked sideways on my face. And I call it the wing of one of the sides of my glasses went right into my eye. And again, like Henry, I didn't actually feel any pain. And I put my hand to my face just to fix my glasses. And the next thing, all this blood was pouring out of everywhere. And of course, there were towels and towels full of blood. So I had to call the ambulance as well and went to hospital. And again, they couldn't operate on me that night because I just had my tea.
Okay.
So next morning, they came to me and they put it to me that you could have various eye operations over a long period of time to see could we restore your vision. But they really felt as though they couldn't. And to be quite honest, I didn't want to take the risk. And I just said, look, remove it. And they did later that morning. So I've been living with a prosthetic eye now for the last 40 plus years.
Okay. So you have vision in one eye?
Yes, I now, as I said, I am visually impaired with this eye condition, aniridia, but I have some vision in my left eye now, yes, but no vision at all in the right.
And how...
Right.
And just listening to Henry, you know, and describing that,
yeah.
Brought it all back to me so much. But as you said, like he was like impaled on the radiator, which was most shocking. But I would just like to take the opportunity just as an individual to reach out to Henry just to say that there are organisations like Fighting Blindness and Vision Ireland where Henry could at least get an opportunity to speak to a counsellor just about how he's feeling at the moment
and
how he's coping with this situation, you know?
And Eleanor, do you mind me asking you, because Henry is now worried about he lost his eyesight, tragically. He's now worried about losing the actual eye. Did you lose your eye?
Yes. yes, my. It's called an enucleation, where they take the eye out altogether. So the artificial eye that I now have, it's made of acrylic, and they paint the eye to look like your other eye.
Wow.
But back in my day, 44 years ago, they took the whole eye out, and there's a little muscle left, so that my eye... People always think when they look at me that my artificial eye is a good eye and that I see out of it because it looks so good. But nowadays, when they remove the eye, they leave in the muscle, and it's not as traumatic an operation as it was back in my day.
Mm. And Eleanor, you say the false eye is painted.
Well, yes. It's a very skillful job
that
the prosthetic department at the hospital have to do. And they paint back in, like, so that, like, the little even blood vessels that you can see, and they paint in the iris as well. You know, and it just looks like a normal eye. People would just never know that you had an artificial eye. But, I mean, there's still a lot of trauma there for Henry, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, well, it wasn't really at least, but I was severely visually impaired before this happened. But for someone like Henry, you know, this is a very common type of injury that gardeners, for example, get. If they're bending down in the garden and a stake goes into the eye.
Yes.
So it's very common for gardeners to end up losing an eye like that.
Yeah.
Eleanor, how does it look? Like, Henry, am I right in thinking?
It looks good. It looks real.
Okay, it looks real. It looks real. It looks real.
I mean, how does it feel, you might mean?
If you're wearing glasses, it wouldn't show up as much.
No, but even if you weren't, like, I do wear glasses, but, it really does look good.
Okay.
Right.
Is that a little bit? There's nothing that will reassure you, Henry, for what you've been through.
No.
But is that a little bit reassuring that they can actually give you an eye?
Well, they do, and it's very realistic.
Oh, you understand? He can give me an eye the whole lot, but I'd be still devastated over it.
Yeah.
This is why I'm saying that it would be really useful for you to reach out to one of these organisations, Vision Ireland or Fighting Blindness, because they do have counselling. Support and they would speak to you straight away just to talk through. I mean, you've very difficult decisions ahead of you, really.
Yeah.
And it's very traumatic experience, you know?
Yeah.
And what about, I know you don't have 100% vision even in the one remaining eye, do you?
Oh, me? No. I'm registered blind in any case. Still, the trauma, you know, of hearing Henry's story and thinking back on my own. And again, like, even for me, it was a freak accident, you know?
Yeah.
And that's only 3 months ago. You know, I'm still trying to get over it.
Yeah, I can hear that in your voice. It's very, very traumatic for you, really.
Yeah.
Okay, Eleanor, that's so appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Well, listen, all the best, Henry, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. John Egan, John.
Hello,
John. Joe. What happened?
A bungee strap with a metal hook, if you know the things.
Oh.
Tying a ladder onto rails on the roof of a car. It came out and went straight into my eye.
It's not
one split second.
That's it.
And when did you realise you were in serious trouble, John?
I looked in the wing mirror and saw blood, and I thought, whoops. So I drove to the A&E with a lump of kitchen towel in one eye and checking the road on the other. That was about 16 years ago.
And did you lose? You lost?
I didn't, strangely enough. The eye is still in my head.
Okay. Your vision?
If it had been hit bang on centre, I would have lost the eye, but it was hit slightly high.
Yeah.
So it destroyed the pupil and the iris, and luckily it didn't rip the retina at the back, which can happen when it gets a wallop. But they put a lens in, which gave me a bit of vision.
Okay.
But what happens is the iris, the colour of your eye, if that's damaged, it slowly falls apart. And it fell apart so much that it's all gone now. And that was holding the lens in.
Yeah.
So eventually the lens fell and it's now lying at the bottom of my eye.
Well, they told me my pupil went right at the back of the eye. Do you know what I mean? And the back of the eye burst.
Ah, yeah. So your retina got torn.
Yeah, that's luckily mine didn't.
And John, your sight,
yeah.
Your sight, you lost the sight in that eye, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with the lens, it gave me about 15-20%.
Okay.
But then once it fell, nothing. So it's a matter of getting used to it, I'm afraid.
One of the big
problems is distance.
Okay.
Judging distance with one eye.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got the information coming from two eyes, which is how you judge distance.
And I find, Henry, if
the sun hits my eye, my good eye, I lose my vision more or less. Because I'm trying to stop and have a look then.
I always have sunglasses in my pocket.
Yeah. Well, everyone should be very conscious of sun and eyes.
Because when you've only got one, if anything happens to that.
And John, does the brain help? Does the brain adapt? Do you follow
me? It does. It learns. I met another guy who it happened to, and he reckoned when he was driving, he used to gently move his head from side to side, and that improved his distance vision, his judgment of how far things were away. I didn't try that myself. But I still drive, but I'm far more careful. Like, I wouldn't drive at night.
Yeah.
And I kind of avoid busy traffic areas.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really be adventurous on that one.
And it's cosmetically...
It's still there. The only thing is I've one blue eye and one black eye.
Okay.
Because all of the iris is gone from the damaged one. So it's just a black hole.
It's just black, yeah.
So that's why I use sunglasses quite a lot, because the sun will get in, so you'll be taking in way too much sunlight into the damaged eye. So the sunglasses help that. Or if you don't, sometimes sunglasses are very dark. If you can get sports glasses that are either yellow or orange tinted.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're anti-glare glasses. I find them better because they don't darken everything.
Yeah, the ones I have just fits over my glasses.
Okay,
this is clip on ones.
So you need anti glare.
Anti glare.
Yeah,
well, obviously you're going to get. Sorry, going across you there, John, but I don't want to be giving out advice. Obviously, you are going to get, and I think John is making the point, and Eleanor's making the point. There is a lot of help available, Henry.
Oh, I understand.
I know you're cast down at the minute, understandably.
Just to get over the shock of it still.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I
John...
I couldn't work. It happened at work, and I couldn't work for about 6 years.
Wow.
Apart from the fact that I had to be careful about the eye pressure, that it could cause the eye to rupture and I'd lose it. But very slowly over time, I was able to do more physical work. And
did you find,
eventually,
John,
then?
Yeah. And did you find, did John, that you lost confidence?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
And did that come back?
Yeah. It did. Just takes time, really. Yeah. Doing bit by bit.
And is there anything? Forgive my stupidity now. But like, if you're, is there anything you have to be careful, if you're pouring from a jug into a glass, for example?
Oh yeah, that's water into a glass. It's much easier with red wine than water.
John, does the red wine have to be consumed beforehand?
Yeah, water, you can easily miss the glass and just pour it down the back of the glass.
But, John,
I do is bring everything up close to you.
Okay.
So you're looking down on things, not looking across at them.
And, John, can you relate to Henry being so cast down at the minute?
Oh, yeah. It was... at the time. And again, I had no insurance cover. I actually had to pay $1,000 for the hospital.
Oh, had you?
When I went in.
Yeah.
Because I was in there nearly a month.
Yeah.
But I mean, in some ways, it was $1,000 well spent. But,
yeah, of course, you're right.
I'm not even sleeping over it, you know.
You're not sleeping?
No, I'm not sleeping at all.
And are you going to your GP, Henry, are you?
Yeah, I'm going up to him and seeing him. But as I said, I even said it to the professor, I'm not sleeping. It's in my mind all the time, you know?
And what did the prof say? What did
I'll be back in February. Yeah. He'll have a look at it again. Let me know any more details.
Okay.
Well, as I said, I just can't get over it.
But things...
Well, they can monitor it. Yeah. I ended up going back for 10 years to the eye clinic.
Yeah.
Because they keep an eye on it just in case.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah, I know that. You do that.
But it's sort of every 3 months, every 6 months, and then maybe once a year.
Yeah.
They check the vision in the other eye as well and just keep an eye on things, because when you're down to one, you can't have anything happen to that one.
Yeah.
No, you can't. Okay.
Stay with us, please, Henry and John, if you can. And I'll talk to Jean and other people after this break. Joe at RTE.ie. 51551. Henry had a freak accident in the house. It's even to explain it. It could not be repeated, even in a drama, I suspect. He slipped and fell. He was getting some food off the floor, and his eye... Is he your left eye or your right eye? Your left eye.
Left eye.
His left eye became impaled on the aperture that's at the mechanism at the side of every radiator that you turn clockwise and anti-clockwise. Normally has a white plastic cover on it, small or big or whatever. They've got flimsier in recent years. That was gone, and tragically, when Henry fell, his left eye, there's no other way to describe, became impaled on that brass, square, strong metal aperture, and he's lost the sight in his eye. And he's in good hands, but he's discovered that his household insurance, he has a medical care, but his household insurance doesn't cover injury to yourself. No matter how freak the accident in the home, but it does cover it if a visitor had fallen and such a thing had befallen them. Pardon the double use of the word. At the same time, back after this, Joe with RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cozy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Carol O'Regan, you're listening to Henry. Henry O'Brien in Dublin. Go ahead, Carol.
Oh, hi, Joe. I lost my eye in December 2022.
Okay.
And I had a rare kind of cancer in the lower lid, which wasn't picked up during the year.
Okay.
By a local surgeon here to me.
Okay. Carcinoma in the lower lid. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about the dogs. Hang on.
No worry.
So, what I wanted to say was. Hang on,
yeah.
Just a tractor going by.
Okay.
And what I wanted to say was that I completely understand, and I can hear it in Henry's voice. He doesn't want to lose the eye.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say to him, if his eye is not functional, he may as well, if it's unsightly, he may as well have the enucleation and have a prosthetic eye, which will have a very good result for him.
Okay.
Right.
So the enucleation is what? The removal of the eye?
The enucleation is the removal of the eyeball. And Eleanor said earlier that in her day, the muscles might have been damaged. I had a very... I had an amazing surgeon in Dublin who actually reconstructed my socket and my lower eyelid.
Wow.
From my hip.
Wow.
It sounds amazing. It is amazing. And I now have a prosthetic eye. And a lot of people know me around here. It was a long haul. And I only had the eye fitted this year, February.
Okay.
So you need time for the socket to settle down. You don't get the eye straight away, you know?
Mm.
Yes.
And the thing I wanted to say was, going from stereoscopic to monocular vision is a huge learning curve for anybody that loses an eye. I used to go for a walk around here, you know, near Clonakilty, and the road used to look like it had a camber, and I knew it didn't, and things like that.
Yeah.
But Carol, there was a book I bought, and I just want to promote the book because it's the only book for one-eyed people, and maybe your researchers can make it available to people. It's called A Singular View, and it's written by a pilot in the 1950s, who, while he was on approach to an airport, a duck literally crashed into the windscreen and crashed into his face. And he lost an eye. Mm-hmm. And this is the only book of its kind.
Okay, and we'll get the name of that again.
Carol,
can you understand, Henry is upset is too small a word for it. But Henry is, my understanding now is that Henry is very worried about having the eye removed. What's that process? The actual eyeball removed?
Well, what I was told was that there's actually no real sensory neurons. I know it's hard to believe. There's no real sensory neurons in the eyeball itself. Okay?
No. Okay.
It's the surrounding tissues that you have all the sensitivity in. And after the actual operation, I honestly tell you, I wasn't actually that sore. And I had a full reconstruction of my lower lid. I had no lower lid after my surgery, you know.
Right.
And the replacement eye?
The replacement eye I had fitted in Dublin by a lovely Argentinian girl. And she, it cost me $2,000. Okay, but I was able to claim it back fully from my insurance. And
yeah, but which and you see the problem, one of the issues facing Henry is that his house, the only insurance he has is a house insurance. He doesn't have like so many.
He won't pay up.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
He could
speak to his surgeon.
Yeah,
and he could do GoFundMe or something like that.
Okay,
or somebody could do it for him. Yeah.
Is that any way reassuring, Henry, or do you want to ask Carol any questions? Like she said, removing...
I wouldn't go into the likes of that...
The detail,
funding or anything like that.
No,
I'm not into that.
And Carol, your prosthetic eye, sorry for going across you, Henry.
Yeah.
What is the sensation of that being in your head now, or is there any?
Well, prior to them putting it in, they put in a sort of like a plastic shell.
Okay.
And it's a rather like a sort of a thick cap, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right. important to have both the cap and then later on swap it out for the prosthetic, because it actually gives your eye socket structure, and they're very skilled in getting it just the right size.
Okay.
And I would say to you that the prosthetic eye was much more comfortable because the muscles around actually kind of grip onto it.
Okay.
And you can I have about 60% movement in my eye.
Okay.
My false eye.
Is that anyway reassuring, Henry?
I just wanted to ask you, does she have to take her out every day to clean it?
No.
No.
Dina?
Not at all, no. In fact, my eye currently has been in for about 6 weeks. And occasionally,
long,
and it's really easy to take it out, by the way. Really easy to put it back. They give you a little tool which helps you. And honestly, to be honest, when I got my eye, I just felt like that's the end of my nightmare, my chapter, you know, my brush with cancer, you know.
Okay. Carol, thank you so much. Neil, Neil Hogan, Neil.
Yeah, Joe,
You want to offer Henry encouragement?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard his full story, Joe. I only switched on towards the tail end of his talking to you, telling his story. What I was saying was, if he has good vision in his good eye, in his remaining eye, I'm blind in one eye.
Yeah.
But my vision in I'm blind in my right eye as a result of a retinal operation that didn't work.
Okay.
And but I've good sight in the other eye. And after initial issues in the last couple of years, it happened 6 years ago, so in the last year and a half, the eye's become opaque. And so the light isn't getting into the back of the eye because it used to irritate and it'd be like tears would, if I hit light, tears would come down. So I don't know what issue he may have, but I would say don't take the eye out, right? Unless, you know, talk to a surgeon. Mm-hmm. They would probably tell him, just like I was told, no, stick to the eye you've got and keep it engaged. In other words, don't cover it with a patch. Don't worry about if it looks unsightly.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it active so the muscles of the eye work. And eventually get used. I mean, I lead a full life. I cycle everywhere. I swim.
Okay.
You know,
now that you mentioned swim, what about if you're in the shower? Would you worry about water getting in?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But I wear goggles when I swim. I wouldn't swim in the sea in case you'd get an infection or something. But, you know, because you worry. When you've only one eye, you do worry about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I'm cycling my bike, I wear these safety glasses, you know, when I'm cycling my bike in case I fall off the bike.
Mm.
You know, but I'm not going to limit my life, you know, because of it. So I haven't heard his full story.
Sorry, Henry.
I would suggest...
And I was saying, if the muscles die in the eye, it'll have to come out.
Yeah, that's the prospect. And that's it. If that happens, it'll have to come out. Okay, Neil Hogan, thanks for that encouragement. John Joyce, I know you want to be positive as well for Henry.
Yes, Joe. I had an eye surgically closed about 7-8 years ago due to cancer, radiotherapy and paralysis of the face.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually never thought, if you keep a positive mental attitude, like, I thought my life was over, that I wouldn't be able to drive, all that comes with it. And I really don't find much difference, except cosmetically, I look different. But other than that, like, you can survive on the one eye, I have no problem with it. So I say to Henry, be positive, that's the big thing. Don't be thinking about what can happen. Be positive about it.
And you actually say, John, that the sight in your other eye actually improved.
it did, because my eye with the, on the paralysis side was permanently opened. It never closed. And that was the reason they simply closed it. So I have more, better vision, because I can focus more now with the one eye than kind of half focusing with the two. So I actually found my sight improved. And again, I was worried about driving, insurance, all that comes with it. And thank God it made no difference. There was no, you know, I just had to get my driver's license done to reflect that I have the one eye. But thank God I live every day, no problem.
Okay, and John,
if you can keep,
the insurance company doesn't come back and say, oh, you've only one eye, we're not going to insure you to drive. No, okay, great.
No, because I made sure that that was all above board, like, you know.
Yeah.
I had a funny instance when I was getting my driver's license changed to reflect it. You know the machine that takes your picture?
Yes.
It spoke to me and it said, please keep both eyes open for picture.
Okay.
And so there's one closed.
And you couldn't open the other one, I presume.
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But, I mean, tell that to the machine, like.
Yeah. Tell that, to the, say tell to, that him, to the computer.
Positive mental attitude on it, like.
Yeah. But you understand, John, I know you do, John, that this has only happened in the last few months. It was a deeply freak accident,
course,
deeply traumatic.
Yeah. And as well as that, too, like, everybody reacts in a different way. We're all different. We're all unique. So it's just, as
and
I
remember,
say,
Henry,
you can keep positive.
This is a man, Henry. Henry O'Brien John, who was along 6 decades as a painter and decorator, never had an accident.
Oh, Jesus. So, but it just shows, like, what's meant to be will be. Like,
oh, good luck. Yeah,
well, it was meant to happen.
Yeah,
but good luck to him, and hopefully everything comes out right.
Yeah, well said, John. Well said. Jerry, good afternoon. Okay. Jerry.
Hi, Joe. You well?
Good. And yourself?
Joe, my story is slightly different.
Yeah, okay.
I survived, I suppose, miraculously. I survived. I could have lost both eyes. And the shotgun blast, 1969, over Newport, Murcock, shooting with a guy. And I was on one side of the fence. He was on the other with his dog. And the dog said, and the bird flushed. And as I heard the bird flushing, I swung up. And he fired, it came straight through the fence at me, Joel, you know?
Right.
And most of one side of my face, the back of my hand, my left shoulder took most of the shot. Now, at the time, I remember it kind of, I fell to my knees. And then what I did, I just put my hand over my eyes and took it away again, and I could see. And I knew at that stage I had, at least I had survived that. So,
okay.
We decided to rush into Limerick. To finish the story, Joe, we rushed into Barrington's. I knew the radiologist at the time in the region where he was, so coming in, we called to him and he arranged. I went into Barrington's, did all the x-rays and so on. A lot of the superficial shot, Joe, I'll get onto the eye now in a minute. Mm-hmm. The superficial shot there removed.
Of course,
yeah. Across my skull and so on, they left alone because they said there was a danger that there might be a problem with those. Now, the end of the story anyway, Joe, is they did a whole lot of x-rays and they removed a lot of shot and so on. They sent me away and I had a whole lot of injections, went back in again and so on. And that was a Sunday. The following Wednesday, I was out with Calcutti again.
Wow.
But the story is this year, Joe, I went in with nose problems. And they said, we'll do an MRI. And I said, by the way, I was in here in 69. I had a problem. So they went away, and your man came back to me, the radiographer, and said, yeah, we found your... But unfortunately, he said, we can't do an MRI, he said, because there is one shot, he said, which is right up against your optic nerve. And he said, you don't realize how lucky you were.
Wow.
He said, you were so lucky to survive. Now, he said the fact that as I swung up my hand, the back of my hand took most of the shot anyway in my shoulder. But he said, there's one there near the optic nerve, he said, and unfortunately, no, we can't do an MRI. We just can't. It's just lodged right up against the optic nerve. So he just said, you're a lucky guy, he said. that if you hadn't moved another little bit one way or the other, he said, you could have taken a lot of shots straight, and he said you could have lost definitely that eye, but quite possibly he said you could have lost both eyes, you know?
Yeah.
So here I am, Joe, now.
Yeah, I'm going to say, reassure Henry, try and reassure Henry. He's very cast down. But Jerry, you say you're as normal as you can be.
I can, Joan. I've a whole lot of. I'm talking to you now. There's one couple of shots here in the back of my hand. They didn't take hold,
okay.
And I'm pressing those. I can feel the shot subcutaneous. And when the cold weather comes, I know they're going to react straight away. But they're fine. I've no problem. I don't the injections and so on. So that's 55 years ago, Joe.
Okay.
And listening to the people there who'd lost eyes, I said, oh, how lucky I am, Joe, you know.
And what age are you now, Jerry?
I'm 92.
Oh, good man. Good man.
And keep going, mate.
Good lad. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Stay there, Henry. Thanks, Jerry. Joe at RT.ie. Back after this. Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're talking to Henry O'Brien about he's lost the sight in one eye after a freak accident in the house. Joe, CBC. Joe, good afternoon. Hello, Joe.
Hello,
Joe. Okay. That's a dreadful line coming towards me. We'll try and get a better line. I'll come back to you in a sec, Joe. Don't worry. We will definitely talk to Joe. Joyce Stormer. Joyce.
Hello, Joe.
Okay.
I was thinking.
No, you want to. We're all. Yeah, I think the number of people who are upset listening to Henry. Want to help him. Yeah.
I'm very sensitive to Joe's or Henry's. Sorry, Henry's complaints. So, I was just driving back home and I listened to him and I was born with degenerated nerve fibers in my left eye.
Okay.
So therefore, it deteriorated. I had only about 5 to 10% sight, and then I had 0% once a cataract came across. However, once I came across later, I was fine. I didn't miss it until I became later on, and my right eye is fine, except that there's a very, very slow cataract deciding to threaten it, so which is fine, and it just needs to be monitored. And what I'm trying to say to Henry is that, in the event of once he looks after his good eye, he's okay. From a cosmetic point of view, I understand completely how he feels. And what I would do is talk to his surgeon in relation to what would look best cosmetically for his defective, because he hasn't got an eye now, so he hasn't got sight. So because my eye doesn't have any defect. It looks normal, but I don't have sight in it. However, my right eye, I need to monitor it because, you know, with potential coming of a cataract, it needs to be monitored so that it doesn't, obviously the cataract needs to be removed so that otherwise I can't see. But listening to Henry, if his other eye, there's two points. One is, if his other eye is carefully monitored, that his sight is okay, and he has reviews. And in relation to the eye that has been, unfortunately, with a horrible accident, upset, he needs to talk to a surgeon in relation to cosmetic. I think his problem is cosmetic, because if he looks in the mirror, he wants to see that he has a normal looking eye. And if he has it removed, he's worried that he's not going to have, you know, he's not going to look right. And I completely get with them there. So I think he needs a professional review in relation to what he should do in relation to, you know, preservation of his these eyes. Do you know what I mean? In other words, that his eye is okay to look at, and what can be done.
Yeah.
Do you follow?
And Joyce, is it a mindset or your brain just adapts? Do you have to concentrate on getting used to it, or it happens naturally. Do you follow me?
I do follow you completely. So when I was young, it didn't bother me. 0% bothered me because I was born with it. And when I became 8 years, I was an eye specialist, actually, came to the school, my primary school. And he told me to cover my good eye, which was fine. And I said, open out, I can't see anything. And the teacher nearly fell off the chair, as she said to my mum when she visited me. So anyway, point being is that when that was all investigated, I was stupidly prescribed spectacles, which actually made my good eye lazy way back then.
Yeah, okay.
So they were taken away eventually. Okay. But to answer your question, in my 50s, kind of early 60s now, as I am driving, as I'm operating things in my home, I'm watching because my eye, you know, somebody could leave a drawer, a chest of drawers open, and my goodness, I have reached down to pick up an earring.
Yes.
And I have done it. And I have, oh my goodness, I have blacked out with a black eye. So what I'm doing now is being careful. Simply being careful.
Okay.
And you have to be sensible.
Yeah.
That's what I would say to him.
And Henry,
To
put another from you, Joyce, inspired. Henry, what is your eyesight like in your remaining eye? You say you always...
It's good. You tell me it's good.
Great, thank
you. Good eyesight, isn't it?
And Henry, do you have a hobby? Yeah. What are your hobbies? Do you watch telly or read the paper or read books? What's your hobbies?
No, fishing I do.
Oh, fishing, lovely.
I haven't done it now in the last 3 months.
Okay, and where would you go fishing?
Up to Donegal, you know, Wexford.
Lovely.
Malahoy's, you know.
Do you see yourself getting back into that, Henry?
Yeah, I do, because the lads went off there 2 weeks ago and I couldn't go with them.
Why couldn't you go with them?
Well, I was just nervous of going, you know.
Okay. So they look, the lads will look after you, Henry.
And I know that.
Oh, you know that. If anyone will look after you, it's the lads.
Yeah.
Okay, Joyce, thanks indeed. Back after this, Joe at RTE. And Henry, I know you were a professional painter and decorator. Would you paint at home? Would you paint as a hobby? I mean, watercolours or oils or acrylics or...
No, nothing like that.
Nothing like that. It'd be a busman's holiday, yeah. Okay, back after this, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Visit one of our 44 stores across Ireland for quality curtains and bedding at great prices. Find your perfect style today.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
A better line, I hope, for Joe CBC. Joe.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, thank you. It happened in, your homeland, I presume, Prague.
No, none of that. But before I go into that, I just want to tell you, Joe, that I enjoy your programs immensely. You have such a talent to talk to people and let them talk as if they were in their own kitchen and having a cup of tea with you over the kitchen table. So congratulations, and keep it up the good work. I was not born and lived in Prague.
Okay.
I was Budapest, Hungary. Just a little bit more southeast. But talking about, I was listening to the gentleman who was giving the story about his one eye, Henry, and he was all the problems he had with it and all the different things which actually handicaps him a little bit. Well, my attitude is more than one of the gentlemen after him who said, be positive.
Okay.
Don't let life go by you and get handicapped just because you lose your eyes. Some people have blonde hair, some people have black hair, some people have a bit of a weak hand and a bit of whatever. We have to accept ourselves and forget about it, get on with life and be positive.
Okay.
Now, I know that's very easy to say, Mm-hmm. But for some people, it's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
When I lost my eye, I was still a teenager, and it was a bit of a messy affair, and it wasn't very so comfortable, because before I could get medical attention, it was another 2 days or so. But the point is, life went on, and now, for nearly 60 years, I just have a piece of glass in my left eye, and it's painted blue because I had blue eyes.
Okay.
And I'm so fond of it that I haven't got it changed for 40 years now, or for 55 years, because once scald does slightly develops, and your eye cavity needs to be actually accommodated with the piece of glass which you have in your head. But the point is, Joe, I'm trying to say, if you are positive and then take life as it comes to you in the eye, and then deal with whatever happens and forget about that you have one eye, just treat it as you are what you are, and you have to cope with what you are.
And Joe,
that's how I live my
life. What age were you when you lost your eye?
I was teenager.
Teenager. And tell us what I can see. What happened? Tell us.
Just put it into context. I'm in my mid-80s.
Yeah. But you were a student in Prague in 56.
In Budapest.
In Budapest, the Hungarian uprising.
That's something to do with it, indeed.
And the Russians. You were fighting the Russians.
Yeah, well, the Russians came in on the... We had the uprising on the October 23rd, which is now just the anniversary gone. And the Russians came in on the 4th of... 4th of November, they came in with the tanks. And then they were rather ruthless. And then something happened to my father. He was actually working for the railways, and he was going up to Budapest. And the Russians ambushed the train. And then he got shot, badly injured. And then sort of young fellow me, who is very peace-loving and pretty easygoing, and I've got a little bit over the line, and I got involved with the other boys trying to sort of do our bit, trying to stop the Russian tanks,
which didn't really
work. But I felt I had to work it out of my system. So that's what happened. But let's just forget that, because I don't even talk to my family about it. It's an episode of my life which is not really having a great bearing on my life.
Yeah, but it's a very brave a period for the great people of Hungary and the way they were treated by the Soviets. But Joe, when did you come to Ireland? And you talk about your full life. Tell Henry what you do and what you did do and what you still do.
My father actually was a great musician.
Great.
Never learned anything, built his own folk instruments, but is a great talent. And I suppose I inherited some of it
you
from
did.
Him.
Yes, you
and
did.
Then when I was 14, no, 13, I was in one of these big schools, and then there was a brass band done in the... And used to be walking up and down, marching while you were there, starting to study in these classrooms. And watching out the window, I said, I wouldn't mind skipping a few classes and playing some instrument. So at the close of the year, one of the teachers, who was the conductor of the brass band, came to the school, because some of the older chaps left the school, so they had to replace them. So he comes into the school class.
Yeah, and you became a very accomplished musician.
And he asked me, anybody wants to join the band?
Yes.
So my hand went up like anything.
And what band did you end up in Ireland, Joe, in?
Well, I didn't end up with any band.
I know.
Because I progressed fairly well. Yeah. And when I was, I got my first principal job in a professional symphony orchestra in Budapest.
Yeah, of course you did.
When I was 20 years of age.
But didn't you end up in the RTE Symphony Orchestra?
And then I was working in the Budapest Opera House.
And then
when
you came
RTE,
here.
Remember, Lemas was the Taoiseach. And there was some money coming to Ireland.
Yeah, great.
And then they decided to create a bit of an international standard to the symphony orchestra.
Wow.
And also Dustin Gabriel came back too.
But your son was up to quite recently a very prominent part of our music life here in RTÉ, and he's now, isn't he, director of the National Symphony Orchestra in the National Concert Hall. What an achievement. He is very good, Joe. He is very good, your son.
He is incredible.
Yes.
And he was one of the youngest members of the National Symphony Orchestra when he went straight from his leaving cert into the National Symphony Orchestra.
Brilliant. Well, you're incredible. Joseph, you're incredible as well. We'll talk to you again. I'm over time, unfortunately. That's Joe CBC. Henry, take strength, I hope, from a lot of the callers today. We still haven't sorted out the insurance issue for you. We sorted out an insurance issue last week, but that was a car. By the way, the car has been found and recovered, the Toyota car. But Henry, we'll keep in touch.
That woman,
I appreciate that, Joe. Yeah, okay. That's the great Henry O'Brien, who's been, and this is going through a very traumatic period as a result of that freak accident. On McLaughlin produced. Anna Geary is next.
Liveline on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.